Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. This is the foreign service of the Argentine radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI Miami Radio International and also via internet on rae.com.ar. My name is Fernando Farias, and together with sound technician Gloria Sarmiento, we'll be bringing you this show in English for Thursday, May 16, 2024. We'll have news, we'll have sports, we'll have music. Today we'll be playing a little bit on the airwaves and sharing some cover versions. The original and the cover version, but the English language versions are songs that you're going to be familiar with if you're an English speaker. But in many cases, I'm pretty sure that you'll get to know the Spanish renditions of these famous songs. In addition, we'll have a feature by the Deutsche Welle English service about Pope Francis that was released a couple of years ago, and it's quite comprehensive about the changes that he promoted in the Vatican. If you want to get in touch with us, send an email to qslrae@gmail.com. You can also send letters to Maipú Street 555, and then of course Buenos Aires, Argentina. Either way, it's okay for sending reception reports if you are a DXer. This show in English is aired via Miami Radio International's shortwaves. The frequency is 5850 kHz, and the time is 10:30 p.m. That's when this show is aired. The programs of RAE are uploaded as podcasts to our webpage as well, rae.com.ar, and you also can listen to the station live streaming through that webpage, rae.com.ar, or via our app for mobile devices that you can download for free. Let's get started now with the news. These are the headlines. An Argentine young man fighting for Israel died in Gaza. President Milei travels to Spain to speak at a conservative convention and meet with business people. Brazilian President Lula announces more economic aid for floods-hit zones. The Argentine government condemned the attack against Slovakia's prime minister. The University of Buenos Aires lifted the budget emergency after an agreement with the national executive. Sports: Boca tied with Brazil's Fortaleza in the Copa Sudamericana. And these are the news. A young Argentine man who was fighting for the Israel Defense Forces died in the conflict with the Hamas organization. He was identified as 20-year Ilan Cohen, a native of the city of Buenos Aires. The news of his death was reported online by Eliyahu Hamra, the rabbi of the Amia, one of the main entities of the Argentine Jewish community. According to the publication, Cohen died yesterday during a battle in northern Gaza. According to local media, the young man's parents were notified by the Israeli consul in Buenos Aires and will travel to that country in the next few hours. Let's recall that a week ago, the death of another Argentine had been confirmed, Lior Rudaev, who lost his life during Hamas' October 7 attack. According to the Israeli government, Rudaev fell defending the kibbutz where he lived, and his body is in Gaza, in the hands of the Islamist militia. President Javier Milei travels to Spain to participate in a conservative convention and meet with business people. The Argentine will be the only head of government present at the conference Europa Viva 24, that's to say Europe Alive 24, which is organized in Madrid by Spanish political party Vox. The conference will be attended by reference of right-wing parties from several countries, such as France's Marine Le Pen and Chile's José Cast. According to the press, Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni will not travel to the Spanish capital and will send a video of support, as will Hungarian Premier Viktor Orban. At the meeting, speakers are expected to make strong criticisms of the European Union and even proposals for breaking up with Brussels. In Madrid, Mr. Milei will also meet with business people and the Argentine ambassador Roberto Bosch. This was informed by Casa Rosada, which clarified that the Vox convention is not the main reason for the presidential trip. For the moment, it has not been confirmed that the head of the state will meet with the highest Spanish authorities, that's to say, King Felipe VI and Prime Minister Pedro Sánchez. Brazilian President Lula da Silva announced more economic support for the south of the country, which was devastated by floods that left almost 150 people dead. According to the latest official reports, 108 people are still being searched. "We will not measure efforts to help people rebuild their lives," said Mr. Lula while visiting São Leopoldo, one of the communities hardest hit by the disaster. According to government sources, some 240,000 families will receive $1,000 each to replace some of their lost belongings. In addition, Brasilia will buy houses to give to those who lost their homes. According to authorities, at least seven rivers continued yesterday with levels above normal, among them the Guaíba in Porto Alegre. In the context of the catastrophe, the Brazilian Football Confederation decided to suspend for 2 days the first division championship, the so-called Brasileirão. The Argentine government condemned the attack against the Prime Minister of Slovakia, Robert Fico. In a statement, the foreign ministry expressed its solidarity with the premier, his family, and the Slovak people. Fico was shot 5 times on Wednesday in an assassination attempt in Handlova, to the north of the capital, Bratislava. According to Reuters agency, he's out of danger after undergoing surgery. The University of Buenos Aires, the largest in Argentina, resolved to lift its state of budgetary emergency. This was announced by the UBA after reaching an agreement with the government of President Javier Milei to increase funding by 300%. The news was repudiated by other public universities that have not yet reached an agreement with Casa Rosada to obtain more funds. In a statement, the National Inter-University Council said, "It is unacceptable that only one university is recognized and not the whole system." This body, which groups 60 public universities, warned, "We will not accept that there are first and second class students." The agreement with the UBA comes 20 days after massive rallies all over the country demanding more budget for state-funded universities. The Milei administration, with the argument of reducing fiscal deficit, is implementing comprehensive public spending cuts, which also affected the university sector. And now, sports! In the Copa Sudamericana, Boca Juniors drew 1-1 as visitors against Fortaleza of Brazil. The team from Buenos Aires started winning with a goal by Uruguayan Edison Cavani, but Kevin Andrade equalized for the locals almost at the end of the match. With this result, Boca lost the opportunity to lead Group D of the Sudamericana. In the context of the same competition, Belgrano de Córdoba defeated Real Tomayapo of Bolivia at home 1-0 and leads the C group. Meanwhile, Lanús defeated Venezuela's Metropolitanos 5-0 at home and was close to qualify for the round of 16. And these were the news on RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo. RAE, Argentina 面向世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けてアルゼンチン.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo.
La RAE, Argentina al Mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in the world.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo.
In a couple of minutes, we'll be sharing a feature on Pope Francis made by the Deutsche Welle a couple of years ago. But that will be after some music. And this is a great track, a beautiful track, written by Jorge van der Molle, a Rosario-born English, a singer-songwriter. Who penned this beautiful tune about fisher people, fishermen, and how they pray to a saint to get fish for their nets. The song has a beautiful melody, and this is the reason for it to be covered so many times by the likes of Mercedes Sosa and many others. But we'll share this rendition by Mónica Abraham, Oración del Remanso.
Correntada que baja hermosa por su barrosa profundidad. Soy un paisano serio, soy gente del remanso Valerio, que es donde el cielo remonta vuelo en el Paraná. El agua mansa y su suave danza en el corazón. Pero a veces oscura va turbulenta en la ciega hondura y se hace brillo en este cuchillo de pescador. Pobreza nos pone triste, la sangre tensa y uno no piensa más que en morir. Agua del río viejo, llévate pronto este llanto lejos que está aclarando y vamos pescando para vivir. We'll be right back. sombra alerta sobre la escama del agua abierta y en el reposo vertiginoso de un espinel. Sueño que alzo la proa y subo a la luna en la canoa y allí descanso, echa un remanso mi propia piel. Calma de mis dolores, ay Cristo de los pescadores, dile a mi amada que está penada esperándome. Ando pensando en ella mientras voy vadeando las estrellas, que el río está bravo y estoy cansado para volver. Pobreza nos pone triste, la sangre tensa y uno no piensa más que en morir. Agua del río viejo, llévate pronto este llanto lejos que está calando y vamos dejando para vivir. Agua del río viejo, pronto este llanto lejos que está aclarando y vamos pescando para vivir.
Rai. Argentina al mundo. Rai, Argentina, 面向世界.
Rai, Argentina vers le monde.
Rai, Argentina to the world.
Rai, 世界に向けて Argentina.
Rai, Argentina al mundo.
La Rai, Argentina al mondo.
Rai, Argentinian in the world.
Rai, Argentina al mundo.
A man of the people and a friend of the poor. A man who breaks down barriers. A shepherd in the storm.
Cari fratelli e sorelle.
Brothers and sisters.
Buongiorno.
Hello.
When the Pope leads the Angelus prayer from the balcony above St. Peter's Square, the faithful applaud him affectionately. But while many Catholics view him as a reformer, for others, he's not moving fast enough.
Er freut sich an Leuten.
He likes people who stir things up, who don't just stop where they are, but think ahead. And he likes to give them a push.
There's lots of talk, but nothing comes of it.
But this is a man who can be extremely stubborn, who can be extremely faithful to his friends.
He's a man who tries to break down the walls.
This Pope has changed the papacy and changed the understanding of the papacy in a way that would never have been thought possible before Bergoglio, before Francis.
solemn mass in St. Peter's Basilica. The opening of the synodal process, the most ambitious reform project of the Catholic Church for generations. The Church is in crisis, battered by child abuse scandals, clinging to the image of a male-dominated institution, and refusing lay people a decisive voice. Now the Pope has called for dialogue, for debate, for clergy and lay people around the world to sit together and work out a common vision of the Church's future.
Meeting and listening to one another is not an end in itself, leaving things as they are. On the contrary, when we enter into dialogue, we question ourselves, we move, and in the end, we are no longer the same as before. We've changed.
There's no predetermined framework, no guidelines. Pope Francis trusts that God will sort everything. And all Catholics are invited to take part in this process over the next 2 years. Agata Lydia Natanya has come to Rome especially for the synod. As a Catholic in Indonesia, she belongs to a religious minority. Her trip was complicated by corona restrictions, but she was determined to take part so as to give the young people of Asia a voice.
They're not given the opportunity to take the lead, or they're just given, okay, you help with this, you help with that.
This young Indonesian has great hopes of Francis. She looks to the Pope for reform.
A lot of young people in Asia maybe are like trying to leave the church because they think, oh, like it's not important for me. But with this, you know, the message from Pope, how Pope Francis are very warm and very close to young people, I think it will touch more the hearts of young people to bring them together again back into the church.
The German Catholic Church has started its own synodal process. The Pope borrowed the name from there, but not much more than that. Archbishop of Munich, Reinhard Marx, is one of the Pope's closest advisors. And he warmly endorses the efforts of Pope Francis at reform.
This is a huge project. I hope he can see it through. But at his age, he probably thinks, it's in God's hands, not mine, but I'm still pushing it.
However, the cardinal is concerned that Francis starts things and doesn't finish them.
I even discussed this with him once. His cardinal advisors are very open with him. I said, we also have to conclude stages, Holy Father. He attaches great importance to the fact that processes get started, and he says, not too soon, not too soon. But he tends to get processes started and then trust that the result will be revealed along the way.
The Maria 2.0 initiative feels excluded from these processes. They've sent cards to Pope Francis from all over Germany. Those of Maria 2.0 are Catholics who demand the same status for women in the church as men have. But Pope Francis is opposed to women being ordained priests.
Und das ist halt einfach ja immer wieder so ernüchternd.
It's so disappointing that he still belongs to this bogged-down male club that doesn't really want to achieve equality.
When he was elected, both women had great hopes of the new pope.
For me, it's simply a question of justice. If men and women are created equal by God, and the creation narrative even says that he created them in his image, the image of God, why should a patriarchy last forever when both man and woman are part of God's image?
Everyone agrees that Pope Francis is gracious, an attentive listener, with a big heart and without airs. But there the agreement ends. For some, he's too conservative. For others, too progressive. Inés San Martín is an Argentinian journalist who covers the Vatican for Crux, one of the leading Catholic news sites in the U.S. San Martín has known the Pope since he was Archbishop of Buenos Aires.
Yes, for my birds.
She has accompanied him on many trips abroad and says he can't be pigeonholed.
He thinks so too.
He's very pro-migrant, but he's also very pro-life. He is completely against the death penalty, but he does actually believe that the priesthood should only be for males.
During his time as Archbishop in Buenos Aires, Bergoglio was considered politically conservative. On the other hand, he was unconditionally committed to the poor in the slums.
Whenever it was his time to go on vacation, what he would do is see who among his priests wanted to take off and go somewhere, and he would replace them in their position. Most of the time, he would end up in the slums of Buenos Aires, just replacing the Bichedo priest, or the priests who are known for working and living in the slums of Buenos Aires.
San Martín had her first direct encounter with Bergoglio as Pope in 2013 in Brazil.
I see him, I'm right standing right in front of him. I'm like, Holy Father, I want to give you a hug. And he's just like, come over and get it. So I went and I got a hug from the Pope.
The journalist is proud of her fellow Argentinian.
For us in Latin America, especially the first few years, it meant that we had someone representing the continent to the world that suddenly wasn't a dictator, who suddenly wasn't a corrupt person, or who simply was, or who wasn't just a really good soccer player.
Even more than 1,000 kilometers away in Berlin, people are watching what the Pope is doing. Christoph Strack is Deutsche Welle's religious affairs correspondent. He was in Rome when Bergoglio was elected Pope. March 13th, 2013.
The doors open.
Bergoglio.
Yeah.
Bergoglio
is a Latin American.
What can we expect in terms of content?
The name a Pope chooses is always an indication. The choice of Francis means he'll be pushing much harder for the Church to stand on the side of the poor, for the Church to stand on the side of those who have no voice in any international forum.
Christoph Strack says people had great hopes of the new Pope because the Catholic Church has an enormous reform backlog. However, the big decisions still haven't been made.
He's not a man who pounds on the table or says, basta, I'm signing this and everybody has to do this or that now. Instead, he's a Pope who creates opportunities for argument, for dialogue, for uncertainty, and then waits to see what will come of it.
Pope Francis has highlighted three vital issues: the situation of the poor and of refugees, interreligious dialogue, and climate protection.
It's about our duty to preserve creation and the common home that we will pass on to young people. The religions that cultivate a contemplative and non-exploitative attitude are called to listen to the groaning of Mother Earth, who is suffering violence.
The Pope is able to address international forums because he's not only a church leader, but also head of a state. Vatican City may be the smallest country in the world, with an old-fashioned electoral monarchy, but the Holy See has a lot of moral clout internationally, and even has the world's smallest military, the Swiss Guard. German Chancellor Angela Merkel on an official visit to the Vatican. When in Rome, heads of government regularly visit the Pope. He often uses the opportunity to highlight moral issues underlying politics. At a public event later that afternoon, Pope Francis condemned armed conflicts in various parts of the world.
I want to emphasize, war is a failure of politics towards humanity, a shameful surrender, a defeat by the forces of evil.
The Pope's commitment to the poor finds concrete expression in his organizing help for the homeless on his doorstep. Carlos Santoro is a professional civil servant, but in his spare time, he's been helping the homeless in St. Peter's Square for almost 40 years. As a member of the Sant'Egidio community, with its headquarters in Rome, Santoro is something like a volunteer social worker for the Pope. Rosanna is one of his proteges. The Pope has set up washrooms and a clinic for all the homeless.
So you got the vaccine where Pope Francis said?
Two jabs.
Two.
Pfizer,
right. And now we're all better, all vaccinated, right?
Better now.
That's good.
This old palace is located directly on St. Peter's Square. It was slated to become a luxury hotel, but Pope Francis gave it to the Sant'Egidio community. It offers 30 homeless people a bed for the night.
This is the room of Silvano, and the first night he slept here, for him it was very strange, because he told me that he looked outside the window and he saw the corner where he had been sleeping for 10 years there, over there. So he said it was a miracle for him, and it was something wonderful that he couldn't imagine before.
Rome in the evening. The tourists are back in their hotels. The homeless people gather at the entrance to the shelter. Rosanna is among them, waiting to go to her room. The shelter opens at 6 p.m. The Pope has also stopped by and had a meal with the homeless.
It was clear that Pope Francis felt at home with us and with the poor. And he said, when someone asks you why so much beauty, I mean, this so beautiful place is given to the poor, please reply to these people that the poor deserve it, like everyone of us, because the poor deserve something very beautiful, not our waste. So they deserve what we dream.
But the shelter can't accommodate all the homeless people. Many camp out in the colonnade around St. Peter's Square, knowing nobody will drive them away. Another of the Pope's priorities is dealing with the child abuse scandal. Hans Zäuner is a Jesuit priest and professor of psychology at the Gregorian University. He's a leading expert on safeguarding children and preventing sexual abuse. He's been a member of the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors since it was set up in 2014. Professor Zäuner travels around the world giving workshops on how to recognize and prevent child abuse. And people also come to Rome to learn from him.
So here, we ask you to come here, if you don't need one.
One of these is Father Matt Duclos from the Diocese of Albany in upstate New York, where there have been a number of cases in the past.
To be able to help the victims who have come forward be able to heal and acknowledge what they've been through, and also help the priests make sure that this does not happen again in the future, being able to implement the right policies and procedures among the priests, especially young priests, in our parishes to make sure that everyone is safe when they interact with priests and they go to church.
More and more cases are coming to light. In France, a commission of inquiry reported in October that over 300,000 children have been victims of sexual abuse since 1950 in the French church alone. Pope Francis is shaken and ashamed. He admits that for a long time, the church and he himself wasn't able to focus on the victims.
I think that's a generational problem. There are people of his generation who didn't really have the issue of abuse on their radar. They also had their familiar mechanisms to confront it, dealing with it on the spiritual level, believing it could be solved by praying.
But Professor Zäuner says Francis has achieved a dramatic learning curve. The Pope listens to the victims of abuse with compassion and remorse. However, he still hasn't found a convincing way of dealing with the cover-up.
Quite a few bishops have been removed from office because it was shown that they hadn't acted in accordance with church regulations. The problem is, and this is also a question for the Pope, why were 10 bishops in Poland, for instance, made to resign in recent months, but there have been no consequences in Germany for bishops committing similar offenses?
Keine weiteren Konsequenzen angeordnet wurden.
Though the child abuse scandal has shaken the church and triggered a mass exodus in Europe and North America, the pilgrims who gather in St. Peter's Square don't seem to attach any blame to Pope Francis. His enormous popularity is evident.
I think he's a very progressive pope, and that he does a lot for the Christian people.
I think he's innovating. He's another kind of pope, and I hope he's doing well in this.
He's being so inclusive and open to any changes that matters in the world. That's why I really like him.
He goes against a lot of what the traditional Catholic views are, but I feel it brings a lot of good and unity to especially mending rifts with other religions.
He seems to have fans everywhere, including Berlin. Here in the western part of the city, in an Italian restaurant, Papa Francesco keeps watch over everything. Salvatore Triscari is a huge fan of the Pope. The chef thinks Francis is more modern and more active than his predecessors. He shows us his favorite Pope picture. What he likes best, he says, is that Pope Francis is so happy and laughs a lot.
For me, this is the important picture. It usually hangs up there, and no matter where you stand in the room, the Pope points to you, and it's as though he's smiling at you. That's how he communicates with people. It's what I love about the picture. The pictures are all beautiful, but this one's special.
Under Pope Francis, a lot of things are suddenly possible that weren't possible before, provided local priests have the courage to interpret the rules from Rome freely, or even to break them.
What animals do we have here? Dogs. Are there any cats? And an anaconda? I was afraid there'd be an anaconda. Oh, there we have something different from a dog. A cat. With green eyes. Oh, wonderful, super.
Father Hüser is blessing people's pets. No problem at all under church law. Animals, cars, and even warships can be blessed. However, the Catholic Church draws the line at blessing gay couples. Pope Francis has not lifted this ban, but he gives his priests a lot of leeway when it comes to pastoral care.
So. Yeah.
In this parish, we've always blessed people on Valentine's Day. We've never asked, are you gay or straight? Those who come forward are blessed. If people are divorced and remarried, I don't see that in their eyes either. Ultimately, I'm not interested in that anyway. I can bless anyone. If we can bless animals, surely we can bless any human. What's this nonsense?
By opening his church to the queer community, Father Hösel is stretching church law. But he hasn't been reprimanded for it. Back in Rome, the Sant'Egidio community is heavily involved in interreligious dialogue. In October, they invited representatives of Islam and Judaism, Buddhists, Hindus, Sikhs, and Shintoists to Rome. Bishop Bedford Strom has come to Rome to represent the German Lutheran Church. The ecumenical movement, seeking unity among all Christians, is actively supported by Pope Francis.
I had the opportunity to talk to him personally at his residence, and I immediately felt a deep connection. I said to him, "Dear Brother Francis, I don't think he needs the grand titles. It's the person, the commitment, the love of Jesus Christ that's important. It doesn't require titles."
The closing event with the Pope takes place in the Colosseum.
I think it's the only time in history that ever happened.
He's a special man also.
No. He's a great bridge person. Yeah.
We also meet Carlo Santoro again, the volunteer from the homeless shelter. His community is hosting this event, and Carlo is acting as press officer. Ines San Martin is also here, the Vatican correspondent from Crux. Typically, Pope Francis arrives in a small car. Dialogue with other religions is extremely important to this pope, especially in times when populists are sowing division and stirring up conflicts. His vision is of a world at peace.
Cari amici, siamo in questo cammino.
Dear friends, we are on this path, each with their own religious identity, to cultivate peace in the name of God by recognizing each other as brothers and sisters. This is the right way. There are those who want to divide us and provoke conflict, but we believe it's important to strive for peace with one another, never again against one another.
Francis is the first pope to welcome representatives of Islam or Judaism as his equals. Many in his church won't go that far, but Francis is forging ahead.
Rai, Argentine vers le monde.
Rai, Argentina to the world.
Rai, 世界に向けて Argentin.
Rai, Argentina al mundo.
Rai, Argentina al mondo.
Rai, Argentinian in die Welt.
Rai, Argentina al mundo.
Okay, we were listening to a piece feature by the Deutsche Welle on Pope Francis that was released in late 2021, but, well, many of the things that are covered are still valid, so it was interesting to share that with you to get to know a little more this Argentine who is really now the most famous in the world, together with Lionel Messi, probably. Folks, we're going to do something now. We're going to play a little bit with the music and have some cover versions of songs that you may be familiar with, especially in this English-speaking world, talking about pop and rock music. Let's start with this track from the 1960s by The Byrds. I'll Feel a Whole Lot Better.
The reason why, oh, I can say, I can let you go, and right away, after what you did, I can't stay on, and I probably feel a whole lot better when you're gone.
Well, a classic from the 1960s, The Byrds with I'll Feel a Whole Lot Better. And have you noticed that in the case of covers, sometimes it happens that most of the listeners, most of the public believe that the cover version is the original. It happens with a couple of tracks. Come on, Feel the Noise, for example. Many people would think it's a Quiet Riot track when in reality was originally recorded by Slade in the 1970s, or Knocking on Heaven's Door for a generation of people was a Guns N' Roses song. Well, in this case, with the Spanish language version of this track, I believe that the overwhelming majority of Argentines, over 90% of them, believe that this song was actually written by Charlie Garcia, because the original version was not that well known here in the country. Charlie picked this song and made it his own. Me Siento Mucho Mejor, many think, is a Charlie Garcia's track, but it's actually a Spanish language version of The Byrds' track. Me Siento Mucho Mejor.
Cuando tenías que estar, te echaste a correr.
This is a party song here in Argentina. It's played and people get really happy and start jumping and dancing. And as I said, many believe, the majority believe, it was written by Charly García. It was recorded in the late 1980s, but it's actually a cover version of a Byrds song from the 1960s. And speaking of the 1960s, let's listen to this beautiful song by the Beach Boys. No? In this case, the Spanish language version does not have that same quality that Charly García's cover had. And people know that this is a Beach Boys track. The song is God Only Knows.
I may not always love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, well, life would still go on, believe me. The world could show nothing to me. So what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you.
Well, everybody knows this beautiful track by the Beach Boys. And Pedro Aznar, a multi-instrumentalist, singer, songwriter, known for being a member of the so-called Argentine Beatles, Serú Girán, between the late 1970s and early 1980s, a very respected and popular and loved musician and artist here in Argentina, recorded, together with Charly, because they collaborated on an album, recorded a Spanish language version of this track, literally translated as Solo Dios Sabe, God Only Knows, and here's a live rendition of this track.
Tal vez no sea eterno este inmenso amor que te tengo. Pregúntale a las estrellas ¿qué sería de mí sin ellas? Solo Dios sabe nuestros destinos. Si alguna vez te fueras a una vía primavera, la vida continuaría, pero ya sin poesía. Dios es quien cruza nuestros caminos.
Thank you. I have to say that Pedro kind of improved the track with this live version, making the audience to sing in this question and answer format. Well, but the track is simply fantastic, and it was pretty well translated. Solo Dios sabe nuestros destinos. Only God knows. God only knows our fate, our destinies. Not exactly the same as God only knows what I'd be without you, which is the original rendition. Okay, let's do the headlines before signing off. An Argentine young man fighting for Israel died in Gaza. President Milei travels to Spain to speak at a conservative convention and meet with business people. Brazilian President Lula announces more economic aid for floods-hit zones. The Argentine government condemned the attack against Slovakia's Prime Minister. The University of Buenos Aires lifted the budget emergency after an agreement with the national executive. Sports: Boca tied with Brazil's Fortaleza in the Copa Sudamericana. And with this, we come to the end of today's edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior, the international service of the Argentine Radio. Our sound technician was Gloria Sarmiento, and the host, yours truly, Fernando Farias. Thank you for listening, and hasta mañana.